as we read down in the scriptures, a roar, uproar was about to take place. And if he had released Jesus, it would have. So we see that he was also under the pressure from the Jews to crucify him, especially the religious leaders. We see that his wife also had a dream, and it bothered her all day long. And she sent this message to him and saying, don't have anything to do with this man. Well, if you're in leadership, you have to have responsibilities. So how does he answer this? How does he please everybody? How do we please everybody? We can't please everybody, can we? I don't care what we do. If we change the order of the service for something that we think is better, somebody's going to complain. If we do this, somebody's going to complain. If we volunteer to do something else, somebody says, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, wouldn't we? You will not come up with the right answer. But Pilate tried one more time to free Jesus. In verse 14, he says, now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. Could this be the answer? Could this very well be the answer? Here is an opportunity for me not to make that decision. I'm going to let the people make that decision. As he thought about that, it sounded so good, didn't it? It really sounded good. I don't have to make this decision. So as we look at it this morning, three things quickly. The contrast between Barabbas and Christ in verses 16 through 18. He says, at that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. Barabbas was a what? Well-known prisoner. He'd been in and out of jail. He was a thief. Everybody knew that. And so when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. A choice between a sinner and a Savior. Do you want me to release a sinner, a murderer, a thief, one that's been in and out of prison? Or do you want me to release this man that's never done anything wrong? Which one? What a choice. Which one do you want? And as we mentioned earlier too, the scribes have gotten in and out of the crowd, and they began to think and shout. Who was Barabbas? He was a well-known criminal, guilty of murder and everything else. But as we see, the crowd shows, don't leave Barabbas in prison. Let's release him and let's take and crucify Jesus. Let's be the one. Who was Jesus? He was one that was falsely accused. He was one in whom Pilate believed to be innocent. He was one that just a few days ago rode into town with people saying what? Hosanna to the highest, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's riding and they're throwing their cloaks down and the palm leaves and they're fanning them and they're just praising him and thanking him for the wonderful things that he has done. And that same crowd is now saying what? Crucify. Give us Barabbas. We'd rather have it. The choice, secondly, the choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Pilate offers that crowd. What a choice. A choice between weakness or wickedness and a choice of righteousness. A choice between sinfulness and holiness. A choice between darkness and light. What a choice the crowd had to make. They didn't even think about that choice, did they? How many of you bought something or planned on buying something and you had to decide whether to do it or not? A new car, a house, clothes, shoulda, shouldna. Those are menial, but you put time into it. You thought about it, didn't you? Shoulda or shouldna. It wasn't just a snap decision. But with this crowd, it was no thought. It was already made up. They were already determined that Jesus was going to be crucified. So when he said, which one do you want? They immediately said, Barabbas, with no thought. As we think about that choice, what about us? What about ourselves? What choices do we make without thinking? To serve God or not to serve God? To go to church or not go to church? To worship or not? To pray or not to pray? To read God's word? To witness or not to witness? What choices do we make today? You see someone stranded, the jack's up and the wheel is off the car, and you drive and say, well, I'm glad I'm not that person to keep on going. What decision is that? There was no thought in it, was there? What about the sins, the choices that we make? Do we make just split-second decisions? The crowd was influenced by the scribes, the elders, and the priest. You and I today are influenced by what? The world. We measure success by the way the world measures it. And if you're not on top of the totem pole, you're not successful, are you? And yet, when John and James asked to sit on the right-hand side of Jesus, you remember? Nobody. It angered the other people that they would even think about that. How are we influenced today? Are we influenced by God's Word, His readings, His Scriptures? By the Scriptures, do we read the influences that we should have? Or are we influenced by what the world says today? As we think about that, how many things do we have in our possessions today that we bought because of influence? New car, new clones. Somebody's got a better outfit, so therefore I've got to have a better one. This person entertained and they had better dishes than I had, so therefore I've got to go out and buy more dishes and better looking dishes. I've got to look much more sharper than the person next to me. Even at churches, sometimes we get a little overboard with it, don't we? When we have cover dish dinners or things set up like that, we want to do what? Outdo the other person. I want to have the very best, so therefore I'm going to make something a whole lot better than everybody else made. And if I can't, then I'm going to put it in what? A much nicer bowl, so at least it'll look good. When all we're supposed to do is feed people, aren't we? Same thing with witnessing. The third thing, the consequences of choosing freedom. In verses 25 and 26, this is what they said. All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Pilate's consequences was he washed his hands. You know, I've washed mine quite a few times when I was a child and have to go back and do it because I didn't clean them up good enough for my mother. I've learned since then to do that better. And when I've got really dirty hands, I can wash them and they're really clean. But how many of us really wash our bodies of sin? His blood be on us. They didn't care. Do you really think they knew what they were talking about? Let his blood be on us. Do you really think they knew what they were talking about? Let his blood be on us. We don't care what the consequences is. We just want to see this man murdered right now. We want to see him hanging on a cross. That was what they were saying. And then we saw that as they made that choice, the people made that choice, they made their decision. And then we see the consequences for Jesus. Pilate washed his hands, but then he did what? Released him and had him flogged. That way it made Pilate look like what? Hey, I've given you what you wanted. I even had this man flogged. Beaten is another word. I've had him beaten. Now he's yours. He's yours. And therefore, as far as Pilate was concerned, everything was okay. I'm innocent. Was he? His choice was not right. I washed my hands, but did that really clean him? Did it cleanse him? The consequences of Barabbas, Jesus died in his place, and he was set free. As we think about that story, we often think about Barabbas. I can't believe they let that murderer go. But yet, it fulfilled scriptures because Jesus set Barabbas free, not the people. And Jesus died on the cross even for Barabbas, didn't he? That was the choices that were made. But today, as we think about it, as we celebrate this upcoming event, we need to remember that Jesus died for you and me. He already knew our sins, even before we did. He knows our sins before we even commit them. In fact, He knows our sins so well that He knows them before we even think them. He knows. But He died for us. He cleansed us through it. And trusting in Him can set us free. I hope we don't wash our hands of Jesus this morning. But what I hope we do is trust in Him and accept Him and trust Him and obey Him. After He died and was crucified, and we celebrate next week the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, His disciples went off and hid and prayed. Now, when He said that, I have a thinking that there was more shaking of hands, teeth rattling, scared to death, praying. But when the Spirit came upon them, what did they do? They preached to the known world everywhere. The Romans would try to hush them up and spread them out so they wouldn't do it, and that even made it more powerful. The resurrection we celebrate, and afterwards the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we can go out with that same power that these disciples had and share to the known world Jesus Christ. Jesus, Barabbas, which one? Let us pray. Father, thank You for this scripture and for Your knowledge of all things, Father. And You set forth the things that would happen, the events of Jesus' death. It was not Pilate. It was not the Sanhedrin. It was not the scribes. It was not the people's choice. It was Your choice, Father. It was Your choice. Surely Jesus could have called the angels down and wiped everybody out. But it was Your choice to love us so much to give Your Son to die on a cross for our sins. And so, Father, help us be filled with Your Spirit today. Help us to leave here not only filled, but with confidence that we have the power to conquer this world through Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. The hymn is given this morning, number 177. There's something about that name. As we stand in just a minute, the invitation is given for those that need to make decisions. We invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We invite you to rededicate your life. We invite you to come and announce if God's called you into the ministry to serve as a full-time minister or a part-time, bivocational, whatever. We invite you to come and be a part and accept Jesus' calling this morning. We also invite you to come and join and be a part of this church.